Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The purpose for these fiery trials in the believer's life is the very same thing that the furnace does for gold.
That was Pastor Joe Henson, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our guest speaker today on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We continue our study of 1 Peter today with Pastor Joe as he focuses on God's purpose for my suffering from 1 Peter chapter 4.
Pastor's been teaching us out of 1 Peter, wonderful book, written by a fisherman. So that should do some of you men really good right there. My father thinks that since the world is three-quarters covered with water, that you ought to go fishing three-quarters of the time. But I like to remind him that, at least in the Gospels, the only time that Peter went fishing was either when he was lost or backslidden. So I guess I would say that because I'm more of a catcherman than a fisherman. You understand that? Yeah, if they're biting, I'm happy. If they're not, I'd rather be doing something else. Yeah. Well, anyway, as we get into the Word, let's think about, just for a few moments, what it's like when life is easy. I don't know about you, but when life is easy, it's really kind of simple to get sidetracked with things, isn't it? After all, when life is easy and things aren't too tough, we just kind of, you know, keep on lumping along. It's okay. We're really not focused on anything, and life really makes us a little bit careless to sin sometimes. But you know, suffering changes our values, and it helps us reset our goals. In fact, it helps us to see what is important in life, and so I think that's one of the reasons that God does send suffering to us. In chapter 4 and 5, we've come to the end of 1 Peter, but as we come to the end of 1 Peter, we see the believer's grace in suffering. And folks, our God is good at giving us the grace we need to go through whatever it is that we have to go through. And He always gives us plenty of it so that we can handle whatever it is He's brought our way. Now, here in this book, Peter's already talked to believers about the reproaches that they face in life. And now he moves from the everyday kind of suffering, the reproaches that they face daily, and he ramps it up to what he calls fiery trials. And that's what we want to think about today. How is it that we as believers are to face really hard times? The fiery trials of life. How do we do that? As we think about the chapter, and we're just going to walk through the chapter, there's three ideas, basic ideas I want to give to you. The first is simply this, is that suffering is good for the Christian's purity. Now, no person in their right mind likes to suffer, but there are some great benefits from suffering. And one of the first things I'd like to point out from this chapter is that there's the benefit of purity when we think about this thing of suffering. The purpose for these fiery trials in the believer's life is the very same thing that the furnace does for gold. And what it does, it helps to remove the dross from the gold. And so that is a good thing. Now, here's some thoughts about some things that suffering does for you as a believer. Three basic thoughts here as we look at these first few verses. First off, it identifies you with Jesus Christ. Look with me at the first verse. It says this, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Think about things the way that Jesus thinks about things. "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Folks, you understand that Jesus was the perfect, spotless Son of God. And as such, He came to die for us. Now, Jesus never did sin. There was no sin found in Him. Never did He sin. He was the spotless Son of God. He came in order to suffer for us that He could save us from sin. Now, we as His children, we as believers will also suffer from time to time while we live in this flesh. We're suffering for Him and with Him, according to what we're told here in this first verse. And here we learn some important lessons about that suffering. Suffering will help you to love and trust Christ more. And folks, when you go through hard times and there's no place to look but up, you learn how to trust God a whole lot better. A second thing that it will do for you is help you to hate and avoid sin. And the more suffering you face, the more you will tend to hate the sin in your own life as well as what you see in the world. And you will hate it and want to avoid it. In other words, it's going to lead you on to personal purity. And you want to see yourself walking like Christ. The more suffering we face, the more it helps us to hate sin in our lives. Now, notice here, we have to have the same mind as Christ about suffering. We're identified with Christ in suffering. And when we're identified with Christ in suffering, he gives us victory over sin. In fact, what he's talking about here is the very same thing that Paul talked about back in Romans chapter 6, when he's talking about sanctification, or what we like to call progressive sanctification. He is talking about that idea that we, in our lives, become like God actually sees us. He sees us as holy, and the more that we suffer, the more it helps us with that personal holiness in our own selves. There's a second thing here that we see that suffering does for us, and that simply it reminds you that your life is short. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. Peter says this, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to do the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. You know, folks, it's really easy for us to take life for granted, isn't it? Suffering wakes us up from the sluggishness or the lethargy and prompts us to change our values to bring them in line with what the Scriptures teach. Before you were saved, didn't you waste your life in sin? I know I did. And that's what he's looking at here, or thinking about here in verse 3. Before our salvation, we wasted our lives. In fact, here, the Greek word used here in the verse means sufficient. In the context, he's saying, what we have done is more than sufficient, or far too much, or more than enough sin in our life before we knew Jesus Christ as Savior. And then he goes on to name some things here. And it's interesting, these things are all related somewhat. He says lasciviousness. He's talking about unrestrained living. No one telling us what to do. We're going to do whatever we want to do. We're going to do our own thing. Then he talks about lusts and the idea of lust and passion. Then he uses the phrase excess of wine. The Greek word here means literally wine bubbling up or drunkenness. Talking about people who are habitual drunkards. And then he uses the word revelings. And that has to do with a drunken party, reveling and carousing, going around having a ball. Then he uses the word banquetings, and interesting, it's drinking is the Greek word, and drinking parties. Now, I don't know how you get banquetings from that, but that's what the Greek word says. Again, the idea of drinking a lot. And then he says this, abominable idolatries, the worship of idols, the worship of anything other than the true and living God. He says, when you are lost, that's the way that you like to live. Someone has said this, the prominence here is on sexual and alcoholic excesses with the stress on idolatry. Pretty sad state of affairs for people. But how many believers live that kind of a life before they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Folks, let me just remind you, as believers, we expect lost people to live like lost people, right? But folks, also, we have to remember we expect saved people to live like saved people and leave what's in the past in the past. And that kind of a lifestyle belongs back in the past. Didn't we waste more than enough of our lives in sin? Of course we did. Now it's time to do what? Now it's time to carry out the will of God. Let's live life differently. Let's not waste our life on sin anymore. Now let's get back and see what God wants and live for Him. You see, when we suffer, we're reminded that life is too short to waste it on sin. And we've really got to get busy serving God, because that's really what God has for us here. Then there's a third idea that we see here, in verses 4 through 6, and that's simply this, that suffering shows you that God's judgment is coming. Look with me, if you would, at verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. He's simply saying here, there are one of two standards that every single person lives by in life. Either you're living by man's standards, by man's ideals, by man's thoughts, or you're living by God's ideals and His standards and His thoughts in the Word of God. You can't do both. It's one or the other. And of course, God wants us to be living for Him. The world thinks that it's really strange that you as a believer will not join them in their sin. After all, you used to. What's wrong with you now? Well, see, now there's something right with you. And that is, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They don't understand why you will not join them in their mad race to sin. And because you won't join them, they will speak evil of you. It's interesting, that word evil has the idea of to defame someone. They are glad to defame you when you will not walk with them. They're glad to injure your reputation, literally to blaspheme you, because you will not do what they are so glad to do. But believers, we're not upset because of people that are lost saying evil things about us. Why? Because the Lord is so clear. Someday, they're going to be judged for what they say and what they do. And we can't let what lost people do worry us, because judgment will come upon them. Sinners will give an accounting to God for this someday. It's interesting, that last verse, verse 6, is a little tough. Could I read it from our Harvest Study Bible? Some were told the good news before they died. They were criticized by others in their life here on earth. But it was God's plan that they hear the good news so they could have a new life through the Spirit. You understand that? People that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ while they're alive, they got saved, they trusted Christ, they changed the way they lived. What did lost people do for them? Had plenty of bad things to say about them. But that's okay, because God is helping them live through the Spirit. We see that all the time. Now, what I would ask you here is simply this. What standard are you living by? We all live by some standard. Are you living by God's standard, or are you living by man's standard? Because you can't live by both. God's plan is that in our suffering, we will live for Him and He will purify us. Now, if we don't have the same attitude as the Lord Jesus Christ in suffering, our suffering will not make us pure, but get this, it will make us bitter. And when you see a believer who's bitter about the suffering they're in, it's because they don't have the attitude of Christ about suffering.
Thank you for listening to today's message with Pastor Joe Henson, our special guest on today's edition of Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.